That's good. Gabe pointed that out to me right before church. There have been a few times where I'm supposed to preach and then we have a big snowstorm and then we're not even here. So, but that's not the case tonight. So that would have been really funny if it would have been just the kind of the second half of the service, a snowstorm would have kicked up. That would have been really weird. All right. So if you would please go and take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 16, the 16th Psalm here. We're going to read the entire Psalm and then look at a few things here tonight. Three main things that will describe and help us come to a conclusion on what the proper path is that we ought to be on. Psalm 16:11. We're going to read that verse first, and then we're going to go back and read the rest of the psalm. But verse number 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Verse 11 here talks about the path of life. What does that mean? What does that entail? We're going to consider that here tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll continue on here. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for each one who's here and the preaching and teaching we've already received here tonight and the music that we've heard and the songs that we've been able to sing. And we're thankful that you deal with us, you communicate with us, and where would we be without that? And I thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you'd bless this time, guide this, continue to guide this time that we have here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So verse 11 again says, and this is the title of this message, by the way, the path of life. What does that mean? Again, what does that entail? And are we on just a path, or are we on the path of life, like it talks about here in the Bible? A path is a well-trodden road and is one that we would probably be wise to consider. If we're in the middle of the woods somewhere, like a national forest or a state forest, they have pretty clearly marked trails, and people sometimes get in trouble when they get off of that trail. They start kind of wandering off and kind of exploring, and then they lose track of where they are. I saw a news article the other day. There were two people that, Brother Sikorsky will enjoy this, two people that went out looking for Sasquatch, and they got in trouble. I think it was in Oregon. And they got themselves in trouble, and they actually didn't make it back out of the woods. Tragedy struck, and they didn't make it. I don't know exactly what happened. I didn't read all of the story, but I saw that headline. So when there's a path and we get off of that, there can be issues with that. Certainly when we go off of a clearly marked road, there can be issues with that. So as we talk about a path, we're talking about a well-trodden road, one that is laid out in front of us, or maybe we are trotting it ourselves, and we're on a path of where we need to be going. So that's a path. And here in verse number 11, it talks about a well-trodden road of life. And what does this mean? Does this mean living the good life? There's somebody that I used to work with. Every time you asked him how he was doing, he would say, "Living the dream, living the dream." Okay, well, what does that mean? And I don't think he probably could have told me what that meant. Does it mean success? Does it mean money? Does it mean a nice family? Does it mean a nice home? Well, the Bible indicates that it's more than just that. And we get a hint of this in verse number 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." It talks about here being in his presence, the ability to be in God's presence. As we read his word, as we meditate on it, as we come to him in prayer, I'm looking at the time right now, unlike Brother Burns, who didn't look at the time when he started. I'm looking at it right now so I can keep track of what we're doing here. I'm going to stay on a well-established path of time here tonight. All right. But it talks about in the presence of God, and we can come into the presence of God, and what an amazing thought that is. We can have fullness of joy. There can be joy in a life that is sometimes full of difficulty, sometimes full of hardships. We can have joy. We can have peace. It says here, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of God, we can have joy. And then it says, pleasures forevermore. We can have things that are pleasant, things that are delightful. And what an amazing thing that is as well. In a world that is so wicked, in a world that is so sinful, living in a flesh that leads us, draws us in sinful ways, we can still have pleasant things. We can still enjoy delightful things. We can still be in God's presence. So that's what it's talking about here, the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And what are some things that the path of life, what must we think of? How must we live? How must we make decisions? How must we devote our lives to the Lord? How must we do all these things to be on the proper path of life? Well, three things here I want to talk about from Psalm 16 here tonight. Let's go ahead and read this entire psalm, and then we'll go back and see three main things here. There's probably about six or seven things here, but I want to point out three things here tonight. Verse number one says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Verse number one says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And the first thing that we see here that the path of life must include is, foundationally, it's faith. Are we trusting God? When God tells us things, when God leads us in certain ways, as God shows us things from his word, as God convicts us of things, and as we seek counsel, and maybe there are things that we need to be doing, do we just simply trust him and obey him? It starts with salvation, and we heard about being a new creature in Christ. And what an incredible thought that is. What a miraculous thing that is, that someone who is sinful, someone who is caught up in their own life, someone who is selfish and just wanting to completely go about their own way and do their own thing, God works in them. God loves them. God wants to save them, just like he saved many of you here tonight, and then takes you and uses you because we're new creatures in Christ. We now have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and it all started with faith and repentance. Faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance. What an incredible thing that is, that God can take a sinner and turn them about and use them for his glory. A God who is so holy and so righteous, a God who owes us nothing because we're sinners, he still wants to take us and use us, and he loves us. So foundationally, as we start on this path of life, there needs to be faith. There needs to be salvation. If we are to go about this life and to have a life that is, and we heard about this on Sunday, having an abundant life, not just a life where we're just floating downstream, not just a life where sometimes I make the right decision, sometimes things are good, but having an abundant life. The path of life must include faith. This is where the journey must begin. And it doesn't stop for the Christian. It doesn't stop for the one who knows Christ as Savior. And this is something that we should do frequently. We should simply trust Him more and more and more. I think of a vehicle going down a road and there's been fresh snow, maybe a couple of inches of snow. And maybe you can't really see where the road is. Maybe a little bit of wind is blowing. Maybe it's out in open country. Visibility is pretty bad. And you can't really tell where the road is and where the ditch is. I'm thankful that a lot of times when I'm getting up and going to work in the morning, there's already someone that's driven that road a few times. And I can kind of see where the road is. Maybe you've experienced this too. You're like, boy, I'm glad someone's come before me and kind of trodden this road here a little bit. It creates a path. So if there's some question as to where the road is, we can see that path. And hopefully that person has not gone into the ditch. And then you're following those tracks right into the ditch, right? But if that path looks pretty straight, we know we're probably pretty good, okay? But we can see that path. We can continue on in that. And I believe that as we go through this life, and day by day, we trust more and more. He shows us more, and we trust Him more. More things happen in our lives, and we just simply trust Him more. And we go to Him for His grace. We go to Him for strength. We go to Him for the daily needs that we have. We're trotting a path. We're wearing out a road of faith in our life. The path of life must include faith, trusting Him more and more and more. Just like going down that physical path many times, and it leads us to where we need to go, we can trust that path. I take the same road to work every single day, and I know that road takes me right into town. I know where I need to turn to get right to where I need to go. And I can trust that road. Well, if we're living a life of faith every day and just trusting him, even when things come up that we're not sure about, even when things come up that are difficult, we know that we can trust Him. And He's going to get us to where we need to go. And there's going to be grace and there's going to be strength that come along with that. So that just like in verse number 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There can be blessing, even in difficult things, if we will just trust Him. And of course, God never ever directs us, never ever leads us in a wrong way. He's always faithful in leading us in the right way. So why wouldn't we trust Him more and more and more and just go the way that we ought to be going and trusting Him more? 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn there with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse number 12, 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We need to simply believe Him and trust Him day by day, day by day. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's turn there, please. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 7. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Even when drought comes, even when there's not enough water, there can still be fruit. What a great illustration of how this life is oftentimes. Things can seem very easy sometimes, and things can seem very difficult sometimes. And in those difficult times, we can still have joy and peace, just like it was an easy time 2 weeks before. And that's a miraculous thing. Isaiah 26, let's go there. But the key in all of this is we must go to him. We must trust him and not trust in ourselves. We have a bad tendency to do that, and we'll see that here in just a few minutes. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength, no strength is in me. It's in the Lord. It's in God. Go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verse number 10. Psalm 9:10. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." And they that know thy name, those that know God, will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. We can see time and time again how people seek God, how people desire to know God more and more, and God responds to them. That's a fact. That's something that we can see. And we can look at that in our own lives or in other people's lives, and we can be comforted, and we can be motivated then to go to him more and more and to trust him more and more, because he is faithful. He never lets us down. We let him down. We let each other down. We do wrong things. We say wrong things. We have wrong motivations. God is never that way. We need to trust him and trust him and trust him more and more and more. Psalm 22 and verse number 8 says, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. There will be deliverance. There will be help. And the first part of verse number 8 says, "He trusted on the Lord." He trusted. So faith is key in all of this. The path of life must include faith. And if we go back here, let's go back to Psalm 16. Verse number 1 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." He has the right focus here. He knew there were many things out there. This is David writing the psalm, I believe. He knew there were many things, many dangers, many issues, many problems in this life. And he has the right focus. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." So faith is key in this. The path of life must include faith, trusting more and more and more. The path of life must also include recognizing what is fact and what is fiction. There are a lot of books out there. There are some books that are historical. There are some books that are completely fiction. And I think we could probably recognize the difference between the two. We could go to a library and we could see maybe a biography on someone, and we would come to the conclusion pretty quickly, this book is probably a book of facts about this person. Or we could see another book, and we would look at the title, read a quick description of it, and we would know pretty quickly, this is a book of fiction. Okay? We have to make the same decision about what's going on in our lives. What's fact and what's fiction? And if we look at verses number 4 and 5, we get kind of a clear indication here of what our focus should be, what we ought to be thinking on this. Verse number 4 says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. We can be mistaken oftentimes, thinking that we can go to ourselves, we can go to the world, we can go to the false gods of this world to seek answers, but all it does is distract us and lead us away from God, leads us away from truth. We look at things that are really fiction that we don't really realize are fiction because our flesh and our minds tend to take us in different directions than we ought to go. Then we'll be distracted and led away from God instead of recognizing what is fact. And what is fact is verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. It is God who helps us. It is God who is the answer, not anything else out there. Things will take over our minds. Things will take over the time that we have. Things will take our energy. There are things that we seek. There are things that we consider that just completely distract us and, again, take up a lot of our time and energy. What are some of these things? Well, there's a lot of things. There's number one thing that came to my mind was social media. How much time are we spending on social media? Just mindlessly looking at what other people are doing. And I'm guilty of this at times, too. On Facebook, you know, you can start flipping through stuff, and then there's little videos that come up. And now, when I do this, videos of Chevy pickup trucks from the 1970s and 80s come up, because I saw that one time, and I clicked on it to look at Chevy pickup trucks from the 1970s and 80s. And then there are other things that I see on there, too, like little cabins being built in the woods, or like little dugouts being dug into hills and little, you know, people doing all these things out in the woods. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool to look at that kind of stuff. Or, obviously, too, like people shooting guns, you know, stuff like that, too. There's a lot of cool stuff that's out there that you can look at. So if Facebook were to be coming up with a personality profile for me, they probably think that I drive a Chevy pickup truck from the 1970s, and I like to spend time building little cabins out in the woods, and I like to shoot guns. Okay, well, yeah, that's cool to look at. That's kind of fun to look at. But how much time did I just waste sitting there looking at some of that stuff? Because it's not realistic. I don't own a truck from the 1970s. I was born in the 70s. I wasn't even driving in the 70s. So why would I even be looking at that? I don't even know. Because it's cool, it's kind of fun to look at, but it's kind of a waste of time, too. These are things that steal our time, things that just take our minds off of what's maybe going on around us, when we ought to just be seeking the Lord and seeking what God has for us during this time, and not just sitting here looking at something. Maybe it's seeking some type of leisure. Maybe it's seeking relationships. Maybe it's seeking material things. These things would all fall into the category of fiction. What's fiction and what is real? What is fact? If we look again at verse number 4, it says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. The word hasten here means quickly, or it can also mean to be liquid or flow easily. And I think of maybe a stream flowing through an area, or maybe some runoff from rain. How does that runoff travel, or how does that stream travel? It takes normally the path of least resistance going through an area. If there's a flat area and it's downhill, that's where that water is going to flow. And I thought that was interesting considering this. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. So going quickly after something, going in maybe the path of least resistance, and this is often what we do. We often look for the easy way. We look for the way that is that feels the best. We look for the way that maybe we don't have to put in as much work into something. We hasten to that. And that's what's talking about here, that hasten after another god. Oftentimes it's easy in our flesh to just do what's easy, to just do what maybe this world does. Sometimes that's easy to our flesh. And we ought to be able to recognize pretty quickly that that's wrong. And we ought not to be hastening to, like it says here, another god. Because if we're looking to ourselves, or if we're looking to someone else for strength, for peace, for joy in our lives, we're trotting a wrong path. We're creating an inappropriate path in our life. But we ought to be doing what it says in verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. God wants to see what the proper path is. And we find that in God's word. We find that in him. Not in what our flesh can conjure up. Not in what this world can conjure up. Hasten after another god. That ought to be convicting to us. If I'm looking to me, if I'm looking to something else other than God, I'm looking to another god. I'm hastening to another god. And that ought to devastate us. That I'm going to something else or someone else besides my Lord. Let's not do that. Fact versus fiction. Let's recognize what fact is and who it is that we ought to be going to. Going back again to verse number 4, it says, their sorrows shall be multiplied. And looking up here, kind of studying this word sorrow, sorrow comes from the root word that means idol, to carve or to fashion something. Obviously, it also means pain or a wound, but I found it interesting what the root word of that is, to carve or fashion something. What are we fashioning? What are we doing day by day? Are we trotting a path that's based in fiction, based in something else besides God? Or are we trotting a path that is towards him? We need to make sure that we are on the right path. And just like it says here in verse number 4, there's just going to be pain, there's just going to be sorrow, there's just going to be discontentment. There's not going to be joy. There's not going to be delight. There's not going to be anything described in verse number 11 as it talks about the path of life here that God wants us to be on. So what are we trying to create? Something that will wound us or give us pain? Or, like it says in verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Do we look to him? And do we recognize that he is our strength? He is the only answer for us when we have any type of issue. Fact versus fiction. We need to recognize the difference. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul writing this, he says, for we would not, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Verse 9, right in the middle of the verse, it says that we should not trust in ourselves. That's a good warning. That's a good admonition coming from the Bible here, that we should not trust in ourselves. And we have a big tendency to do that. Go with me to Psalm 11. We need to look consistently to the one who can help, not to fake or weak things. Psalm 11. Verse number 1, it says, "In the Lord," Psalm 11, verse 1, "in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Are we looking to him? He is the one who can help us. And we see here the result of going the other way. There's not going to be blessing. There's not going to be comfort or satisfaction. There's just going to be difficulty. There's going to be sorrow. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse number 26 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Let me read that again. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." What's real? What can really help? Not our flesh, not our own hearts. These things fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Are we looking to him? Do we have the right perspective on who we need to be looking to? Fiction can draw you in. Fiction can deceive you. God doesn't desire to do that. God desires to bless and to help and to give strength and to see us on the path of life where we can bring honor and glory to him and service to him and be spared from a lot of things that come from these other things that we just looked at, from the fictitious things of this life. So recognizing who is fact and fiction, what is fact and fiction? So the path of life must include faith, recognizing the difference between fact and fiction, and then also, if we go back to Psalm 16, it also needs to include frequent right choices. And what I mean by right choices is day by day, we need to be looking to him. Day by day, going to him and trusting him, even with things that we would describe as the small things. Maybe we're having a fairly smooth day. Maybe we get up in the morning and we anticipate a pretty smooth day. There are some days you get up and you know that maybe things aren't going to go so smoothly, right? I remember when I worked for Grand Forks for the police department, I knew sometimes the next or the day before that I was going to be going in the next day and I was going to be working the downtown area. And I saw that and I'm like, I should just call in sick. Because I don't want to do that, because I know it's going to be just a lot of weird stuff sometimes. And I just don't even really want to do that. I don't even really want to. So I know it's going to be a difficult day. So as I'm driving into work, and I get into Grand Forks, and I'm approaching work, oh, there's just this feeling of just dread. And I would pray. And I would say, Lord, help me today. Help me. Give me wisdom. Give me patience. And he would. But there are days where we don't anticipate anything going wrong. There are days where we think, well, I think today is probably going to be pretty good, pretty smooth, right? We ought to be praying in those days too. And asking the Lord to help us with whatever may arise, whatever decision I need to make, whatever thing I need to do today, even in the small things, day by day, do we go to him and trust him with the small things? Do we listen day by day and make the choice to obey? If we look at verse number 7, it says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Frequent right choices, frequently going to him, frequently asking him for help, frequently just obeying him as he leads us in different areas. And we get that sense here as we read verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. He shows me things. He teaches me things. He instructs me in different ways. And am I listening to that? Am I responding to that? When we come to a church service, are we listening and then learning and obeying and responding to God like we should? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Do we respond day by day to what he's giving us? Or do we just take our own guidance day by day? And here's a trap that we can fall into. Things seem easy or steady, and we see no reason to include God in our day. Have you ever fallen into that trap? And then something happens, something difficult, something that we didn't see coming at all, and we don't go to God right away because we're not going to God day by day as it is already. And that creates more problems. When if we would day by day be making the right choices and going to him and responding to him and listening to him and asking him, hey, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me with this. As those little things come up, help me with this. And then respond to him as he deals with us. If we're doing that on a day by day basis and then something comes up that's difficult, we're going to be way more likely to right away go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this. Instead of getting angry, or instead of getting upset, or instead of saying, why is this happening? We can simply go to him right away because we've been doing that day by day, day by day. We've been trotting that path of making right choices day by day. And then when that difficult thing arises, we know who to go to because he's been faithful to us and we've seen his faithfulness in the small things and in helping us. And in, you know, just even something as simple as reading our Bibles in the morning, we see more of who he is and we see his faithfulness. And then the next day when something hard happens, we know, boy, God is faithful and I just need to turn to him and he will help me. Verse 7 again, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. And then look what it says. It says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And this is getting into what we were just talking about. My reins, what does that mean? It means something that is prepared. Our mind or our interior self is prepared so that when something happens, we just know how to respond. We prepare ourselves to trust in the difficult times or in the dark times by making choices to trust day by day. Are we trotting a path of right choices? Because at some point, there will be difficulty on the path. It can be, and you've probably seen this before, maybe you've been out, I mentioned state forests and national forests and stuff like that. It could be the most beautiful paved trail going through the woods. Maybe you're riding your bike through there. And maybe you're zipping along pretty good. it's kind of fun. And all of a sudden, there's a big pothole on the pavement. That's no fun. You got to swerve. You got to apply your brakes. You got to, and it kind of makes your heart jump a little bit. A little bit different than being in a car, because if you had a pothole in the pavement and you're zipping along on a bike, you might go flying off that bike. But if we're watching what we're doing and considering this path, even though things are nice and smooth, if we're not just, and I'll say this too, maybe you've had this experience where you're driving on a road, and this is totally wrong, so I'm not saying that you should be doing this. You've probably heard the term before, you're in a drive coma. Have you ever heard this before? Where you're driving on the same road that you're always driving on, and everything looks the same, everything's the same, and you're just driving along, and before you know it, I just went like 5 miles, and I don't even remember those 5 miles. Phew, they're gone, right? Because you're not thinking, you're not paying attention really to what you're doing, and oftentimes we can be like that in life. If things are going smoothly, things are going okay, we can just kick back and not really be considering the things that we need to be considering. And then all of a sudden, the pothole is in the road. And we're not prepared to deal with that. And we make the wrong choice. Spiritually, it can be like that for us as well. If we're not day by day looking to Him, preparing, having Him help us, looking to Him and His Word and meditating on His Word and praying and just going to Him day by day, something difficult's going to happen and we're not going to know how to respond to that. So day by day, we need to be making these right choices. I think of someone in training for maybe a fight, or maybe someone in law enforcement, or someone who's training in firearms or whatever else, and under extreme stress, you're not going to do something properly if you've not trained in how to do that thing. It's not just going to come just like that. There have been videos of officer-involved shootings where an officer is shooting, and then the gun has a malfunction, and the video shows the officer clearing that malfunction, and he does a beautiful job of it. And afterwards, they ask him, hey, do you remember that you had a malfunction in the middle of that? And he's like, no, I don't. He just cleared it because he had been trained in how to do it, and he had trained. We need to be considering that day by day by day. How do I need to be coming to God? How do I need to be responding to God? I need to be drawing closer to Him day by day and not just sitting on autopilot because things appear to be kind of smooth right now. We need to be going to Him frequently. Isaiah 26, a couple more verses here and then we're going to conclude. Isaiah 26. And verse number 9. All of this was a challenge to me as I was considering it. I hope it's a challenge and a blessing to you as well. Isaiah 26 and verse number 9. It says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Let me read that again. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Will I seek thee early? We need to be seeking Him early. Day by day by day. Go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and verse number 6. Says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. The way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Difficult things come, and do we have, like it talks about here, do we remember who he is? Do we remember what he is capable of? When something difficult happens, have we looked at God's word enough? Have we meditated on God's word enough? Have we just been day by day seeking him enough to know who he is and how great he is? So that when that night season comes, that difficulty or that dark time comes, do we remember him? And we ought to be. Verse 15 says, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God is a great and powerful God. Do we day by day seek him so that when something comes up that we have no power over, do we remember the God who has power over these things? We ought to be living like that. One more verse, Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse number 8. It says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He is a God who wants to help us. He is a God who wants to be known by us, first in salvation and then as a Christian, day by day. Not just in the difficult times, day by day. He wants us to be knowing him more and more and more. Back to Psalm 16, verse number 11 again. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And these things that we've just talked about here, path of life, including faith, recognizing what is fact and fiction, frequent right choices need to be made day by day, looking to him, knowing him more and more, so that when the difficult times come, we know exactly what to do. We can turn right to him. And what a blessing that is. What a great comfort that is. God's going to give me grace day by day in the small things. He's going to give me grace when something difficult happens too. Great comfort from him. The path of life. God has a lot to say about this, and we ought to be listening to what he has to say to us about it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you.